from Santa Barbara, California. The Timeless Voyager with Bruce Stephen Holmes. Talk radio for the new age. Interviews with well-established professionals in the fields of New Age philosophy, holistic health care, energy healing, psychic phenomena, and extraterrestrial encounters. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes, the Timeless Voyager.
Hello everyone, this is Bruce Stephen Holmes, the Timeless Voyager. Today I'm sitting on a beautiful redwood deck overlooking the Pacific Ocean, and I have with me probably one of the most influential writers and performers in the music business today, Mike Love. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Mike of the Beach Boys, just synonymous with good time rock and roll. But most importantly, the reason I have Mike on the show today is because a lot of you listeners know Mike certainly as a performer, but there's another side to his life. He's been a very devout follower and devotee, I think I can say that, of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the founder of Transcendental Meditation, and so many, many, many other facets of that entire organization. And I thought, Mike, this might give people a chance to learn a little bit about another side of your life that is private and is personal, but you've been certainly a spokesman for TM for a long time and have given a tremendous amount of time and service and financial help, too, to the movement. So, Mike, why don't we start by just a very simple question. How did you ever find out about TM in the first place?
Well, during the middle to late 60s, there's a lot of talk about consciousness and mind expanding, and of course there was a kind of a search for peace, both individually and as the planet, because of course things like the Vietnam War was well underway, and there was the summer of love and all those kind of things that were going on back in those times. And Maharishi actually came to the West a little over 30 years ago. And so he'd been around for a while, but I just hadn't heard about TM. But finally I'd heard about TM. I'd heard about the Beatles starting TM. I'd gone to a lecture at Santa Monica Civic Auditorium given by a fellow named Jerry Jarvis, who was at that time the head of the Students International Meditation Society, which was an organization specifically geared to bring the technique of TM to the college students and making it available to them. The lecture that I attended at Santa Monica Civic Auditorium was given by Jerry Jarvis, who was then the leader of what was called the Students International Meditation Society. In fact, there's a funny thing happened, sort of, because I was in the group, and it was 1967 in the fall when I went to the lecture, and I actually went over to the old TM Center at 1015 Gailey in Westwood, right near the UCLA campus.
Yeah.
So I was interviewed, hoping to start TM. I and my wife Suzanne, and in fact, I was not a student. So they sent me across town to the Spiritual Regeneration Movement. Headquarters, which I think was around on Wilshire Boulevard somewhere, mid-Wilshire area in L.A. And en route to to this spiritual regeneration movement place, which was the movement facility, which was designated to teach the adult community, on the way over, I got in a fight with argument with my beloved.
At that point, huh?
Yeah, and then I got so bugged. We were just really hassling each other, and so I was so upset that I said, "Well, you know, forget it. I'm not going to." So I won't tell you what I said.
Right, I know. We know what you said, basically.
Yeah, right. Expletive deleted. But I said, "Forget it. I'm not going to learn meditation when I'm, you know, in this kind of atmosphere." And so I turned around and drove back to our house in Beverly Hills. And turns out, just a few days later, I got a call, and we were invited to go to Paris to do a benefit show for UNICEF, United Nations Children's Emergency Fund. It was a Christmas show, and it was a fantastic presentation. They had Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor and the Russian Red Army Choir and the Turkish Ballet and Victor Borge and Lena Horne. And
so this was a big show.
It was a huge show. It was a big, huge orchestra, French orchestra, and a bunch of singers I'd never heard of, but they were great. And Marlon Brando and his Tahitian dancers, you know, I mean, it was amazing. The Beach Boys were the only rock group invited, so anyway, that was an interesting deal. We were invited to the show, we in fact did it. And while we were there, during rehearsals, we met Maharishi. He happened to be there.
This is great. Yeah. So synchronicity steps in.
Yeah, it was amazing. A little karma there. Anyway, during rehearsals, we met Maharishi, who was a proposed speaker on the show. He, in fact, did not speak on the show. However, he was in Paris at the time, and a couple of people who I knew from the business were over there listening to his speeches and sitting in on his lectures and so on. And one by the name of John Lennon, the other George Harrison. So those guys were there in Paris with Maharishi and came. In fact, when the curtain opened for our part of the show, there was in the front row Maharishi sitting there. On one side was George Harrison and his wife, and the other side was John Lennon and his wife. So it was quite a phenomenal event and evening and all that.
That's quite a front row gathering for you, Mike.
It was interesting, I'll tell you. It wasn't your usual crowd. Everybody bedecked in jewels and tuxedos and all that kind of stuff. It's quite an aristocratic crowd. Anyway, that transpired. That evening we went to an embassy party with all those characters I mentioned, including Marlon, and went out and had a great time and didn't get in till dawn. But then the next day or so, the main group went to England, and then I got a call from Dennis Wilson, my cousin Dennis, who had stayed behind in Paris.
Uh-huh.
I'd left because I really liked England and was all set to enjoy England for a few days. And then we got this call saying, "Mike, you should come on back to Paris because Maharishi is going to teach us TM."
And so in actuality, you of all people weren't there. Everybody else was there, and they're calling you back then.
Well, just Dennis had stayed back. The rest of the group had gone to England. But anyway, nonetheless, we were in England a total of about 12 hours because we went to bed early that night, got up very early, and at 7 o'clock in the morning, we basically caught a plane back to Paris, got in around 9 o'clock with the time change there, of an hour flight, and told me that Maharishi was going to teach us all to meditate. And I said, "That's great, because I'd want him to learn." I just had him call back and confirm, which he did, and he said, "You have to get some rest, get to bed early tonight, because you're supposed to be rested when you learn, and you need some fruit and flowers and a handkerchief, because there are certain offerings that are given during the course of what is called the puja, which is this beautiful ceremony that's done in gratitude to the masters of the tradition, which is handed down this wisdom and this knowledge." So we got to Paris early in the morning, and we're looking around for our flowers and our fruit and our handkerchiefs, and then we finally got it all together, and we were at the Hotel Crillon in Paris, which is a beautiful old hotel. I mean, it's gold gilt everywhere, and it was fabulous. And I can remember having the thought, once we had learned TM, because Maharishi before he instructed us gave us an introductory lecture, followed by a preparatory talk a few hours later. But in the late afternoon, we were instructed the TM, and I can remember my first thoughts being that it was such a deeply relaxing feeling that I felt that if everyone could learn to meditate, the world would be an entirely different place. So for right from that first meditation, I had this, very powerful feeling that it could be an answer to, the world's problems, at least the level of stress and tension that is in the world.
You began somewhere along the line to bring Maharishi with you, didn't you? With the band, to introduce him to the world, because you were quite influenced by what he had taught you.
In 1967 is when we started, December, and then in January of 68, we all went to the Plaza Hotel in New York, because Maharishi had flown over to the U.S. at that time and was basically giving lectures and meeting private and teaching people in New York, and then later to Boston, at which time I followed him up to Boston. That was when Mia Farrow was with him and all that. So, as I was saying, Maharishi was at the Plaza Hotel in New York for lectures, and later on he went up to Boston to do this incredible lecture at the Harvard Law Forum. I was up there. I followed Maharishi up there to attend the lecture, and Mia Farrow was there. I was sitting quite like about next to her. And then she was headed to India with Maharishi at that time. He was going back to start a teacher training course, course of study at Maharishi's academy in Rishikesh, India, which is at the foothills of the Himalayas, which is this huge mountain range in India, and the Ganges River being this holy river that flows from some source way up in the mountains. And this is in the banks of the Ganges, where it flows out onto the plains of Rishikesh, it's called, which is the name for Lord Krishna. And there's a very ancient site there where there are many, many yogis and ashrams and stuff. And Maharishi has, up above this site, has an academy there, which still functions for the benefit of the Indian TM movement and so on, as a teacher training facility. But in those days, that's where they had teacher training for those who were interested in becoming teachers of TM, which I was. And because I felt so profoundly influenced by just the first couple of weeks of meditation, I completely gave up any drinking of hard liquor and any other bad habits I might have had. However, I noticed that I could still go out and enjoy myself at night,
right,
running around until 2-3 in the morning, and get home and get up after a few hours sleep and meditate and feel refreshed. So I thought this was the greatest technique of all times, because you didn't need to live like exactly a monk, but on the other hand, you could use the benefit of all this energy and clarity of thought that, which had its value in creativity. Matter of fact, creativity was one of the reasons, in addition to the consciousness expansion part, that got me interested originally in TM. By the way, that helicopter going by, helicopters go by here all the time on the Mesa, and a lot of times they're carrying the President and Mrs. Reagan up and back, although he's now not President, George Bush is, but he still gets those perks.
Right.
Anyway, so that's for the benefit of the
listeners.
Well, what the heck is
going
on.
Yeah, right. to just probably focus on that for a second, let's talk a little bit about how it influenced your writing abilities, because, I think, and I want to tell listeners this, and I think the public in general doesn't realize how many of those songs you actually wrote with Brian Brian Wilson. A lot of people credit Brian as the only writer for the Beach Boys, and yet on so many of those really big records, Mike, you were at least a participant writer, if not one of the major writers.
Yeah, well, the problem was that my Uncle Murray, who we actually fired as our manager in the early days, didn't care for me too much, so he deleted my name from some of the writing credits on songs like California Girls, I Get Around, Be True to Your School, and what else, those are the main ones, I guess. Surfing USA also, because they credited it with Chuck Berry, but Chuck didn't surf. I mean, he probably would have if he'd have been white and grew
middle
up
middle class, right?
Yeah, Southern California. But being from Missouri and being a black man and one of the progenitors of rock and roll, he inspired the Beach Boys, inspired me lyrically with his sense of style and the way he sang and stuff, bend those notes around, and his sense of alliteration and so on. And those little musical vignettes that were little documentaries, little vignettes of American life. Ours was similar. We took our environment, which is basically Southern California, the beach, the cars, the high schools and so on, the girls and so on, and encapsulated that in our terms and with our sound and so on. But it is true that I did play a very,
I was gonna say, a major role.
Major role in the concept and the lyrics. And sometimes,
and your voice. A lot of people don't realize it's your voice.
Yeah, well, the voice and sometimes the musical thing, like for instance, Round, Round, Get Around, I Get Around. I came up with a Round, Round, Get Around deal. And I'm picking up good vibrations, stuff like that. So I've come up with some hit, what they call licks in the music field. But I wrote about 90% of our first song, Surfing, about over 50% of Surfing Safari, and then Surfing USA was basically an arrangement of a Chuck Berry song.
Right.
Brian did the majority of the arrangement. Then Brian quickly became quite, he was a gifted arranger and musician, and he quickly became a producer and arranger of great note. I mean, one of the greatest ever in those times. I mean, he was responsible for doing the album Pet Sounds, which is just a phenomenal album.
Especially since it didn't have synthesizers and sequencers back then.
Had a four-track machine.
Right.
It was pretty phenomenal. But the same thing with the Beatles. They were doing Sgt. Pepper's, the same kind of machinery. So at any rate, it was between the Beatles and the Beach Boys, there's a lot of creativity and a lot of challenging of creativity or creative depth and stuff going on, which is good and healthy. And that's, creativity is one of those other things that interested me about TM, because in Transcendental Meditation they promised increased creativity, mainly due to the fact that your mind actually expands, your conscious mind actually expands, and science has shown that, proven that through regular practice of TM, your IQ actually grows. So increased creativity, deep rest, relaxation, all these things, inner spiritual development in harmony with outer material growth, and leads to what Maharishi was calling two fullnesses of life, 100% outer and 100% inner development. And to me, it just sounded like very, very a great thing to do. And it was, irrespective of what religion you practice or didn't practice or what have you, that one could learn TM and become a better person, more fully developed person, and somehow eliminate a lot of the negativity, tension, and frustration inherent in life and activity, and be able to exude more positive, uplifting, in fact, good vibrations. That was a ploy.
I got it. Feel about hearing Mike Love of the Beach Boys? It's almost like your name.
Well, it just doesn't bother me. I mean, if it had bothered me that much, I guess I wouldn't have been in the group this long.
Sure.
Actually, an interesting story about being in the group this long. In 1972, I became a teacher of TM.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. You went to...
1971, 72, and became a teacher of TM at that time.
For a moment. What is the TM City program? And I understand you practice that regularly.
Made an offer to the people who had become teachers of TM to come for 6 months, for a 6 month long special course called the Age of Enlightenment Governor Training Course, to learn what he called the TM City program. Now the city's SIDHI is the way you spell it. It has to do with a series of sutras, S-U-T-R-A. Sutras are these mental techniques, not entirely dissimilar to mantras, but having a different way to use them. For those people who have learned TM technique, they know that they've been given a mantra, which is a word or sound which has a specific and known effects. Effect of quieting the mental, the mind down, and the body therefore getting a deep level of rest through the process of the mind going to deeper levels. The body sinks to deeper level. You transcend or go beyond thought to the source of thought, which is this home of all of laws of nature within us, which all of us are capable of reaching through this simple natural mental practice. And that you do for about 20 minutes. Now once you've learned TM, and you like it, and you've done it regularly for a while, you're eligible to learn this advanced program, which is the TM City program, which, as I said, you're given these sutras, which develop these powers, which cities are these powers, specific attributes or powers or abilities of the mind or the body. So, in fact, one can, with practice of these sutras, called Sanyama, that's the practice of it, one can develop to a high degree of perfection capabilities such as vision or hearing or intuition, all these different senses and different qualities of the mind and or the body. In fact, a great deal of notoriety was gained from this program by virtue of the fact that one of the things that is taught is this sutra for levitation. And basically what it is being able to develop the mind so that it's so strong that, and so perfectly coherent that one can, with just a thought, lift off the ground and defy gravity. Now, mind you, this takes practice.
Right.
It takes a long years of practice to develop perfection. However, there it is. Just as if a person wants to become a Mr. America, he has to start lifting weights. If you want to be a Mr. America, Mr. World of the mind, then there are mental techniques that one can practice,
right,
and exercises that one can do. And this is the TM City program. So it's a very fascinating course of study. It's a very fascinating mental and personal development group of techniques that it's neat that they're available, because one does not have to simply take up a bunch of hours and years of life with the same level of conscious mind, the same level of intelligence, the same level of energy or abilities that one has inherited. And in other words, one can, with practice, daily practice, increasingly grow in wisdom, grow in intelligence, grow in energy and clarity mentally, and also it has some tremendously wonderful effects on the physiology, the physical being. For instance, the healthcare utilization costs of people over 40 who practice TM regularly are 70% less than the norm in the United States, according to the healthcare utilization statistics. Which, what that means is the orderliness of the mind and the deep rest and relaxation gained through TM, the TM City program, has a direct relationship upon how healthy that person is and how healthy the society is, because it is found that when people practice in groups, the TM City program in big groups, that the effect is very, very powerful, and in fact it's exponential. They say that it's the number of people practicing TM City program squared is the effect, meaning that if you have, say, 100 people practicing the TM City program together, it's like 100 times 100. So it'd be like, what, 10,000 people, I guess? I don't know. Point is, 30 people would be like more like 900 people were meditating. And the interesting thing is that there are receptors in our cells, in our mind, all through our body. There are actual receptors and neurotransmitters, so that the mind of the person who is doing these practices, these TM Cine program, in conjunction with a lot of other people, there's a very powerful transmission of coherent thought on a very subtle wavelength that emanates from this body of consciousness that is this group of people that are practicing this technique, which radiates throughout creation, irrespective of time or space or everything. Now, the effects are more powerful the closer to this group. However, it has been found in great gatherings of TM City practitioners, such as one course they had at Maharishi International University in Fairfield, Iowa, many, many years ago, about 8 or so years ago, they had over 7,000 practitioners, which is equal to 4,900,000,000 people meditating. So, and interestingly enough, when those people were together, the world stock markets and all the world stock markets broke records, and there were less traffic fatalities than there had been on the roads in 40 years, even though there are many more cars traveling, and there was less hospital admissions, and all kinds of interesting indicators of increased positivity and decreased negativity. So this is something that I have found, it's sort of like an avocation to me. My vocation has been music and performances, you know, personal appearances and so on. But my avocation has been mainly the development of my own consciousness through the practice of TM City program and trying to get to these courses and trying to meditate with large groups of people as much as possible, because of the tremendously positive effects these gatherings have had in the course of history and our planet today. In fact, Maharishi for years had prognosticated and foretold that when a certain amount of people do practice these advanced techniques, then peace will reign on Earth. And now he says that world peace is accomplished because of the cumulative effect of all these group meditations around the world, and and that now he's working on heaven on Earth. It used to be they called these great assemblies world peace assemblies. Right. Now they're heaven on Earth assemblies, and I'm heading to one, you know, very soon. They're given about quarterly now in the United States, a couple times a year, winter and summer in D.C., and then fall and spring at Maharishi International University in Fairfield, Iowa. So,
let me ask you some questions. Well, these aren't really questions, some statements, I guess. You opened up your property, for those listening to the show, about a week ago, to a large gathering of TM City practitioners from around certainly California and other surrounding states, and you had a large number of people here all doing this yogic flying and this city program together. Mm-hmm. First of all, that's quite a thing for someone of your stature to open up his property and allow these people to come in. I mean, that alone was magnificent. This isn't the first time you've done it, but what were some of the effects? Have there been any effects? Is it too soon to notice, or what has been the feelings at this point? They can even be opinionated.
Yeah, well, Devu Chowdhury, who was performing some Gandharva Ved music here, we had a classical Indian musician who performs this specific type of music called Gandharva Ved, meaning the Veda of music, which or sound, in which there are specific ragas that one performs for specific times of day or specific or particular occasions. And it's, that type of music is meant to, through the influence of these melodies, which are very, they were cognized by ancient musicians and seers to be pure expressions of nature. And when they fall upon the human ear, it has an effect of creating balance and harmony within the mind and the body of that individual, making them more harmonious with the time of day, with that time of year, with society itself. And it's an interesting science, and completely unknown to modern, you know, so-called modern, you know, scientific community. But the more the modern scientific community delves into deeper levels of reality, the more they find in common with Vedic knowledge, which is this pure knowledge and absolute pure blueprint of creation and so on. So within this Veda, which is the storehouse of knowledge and wisdom, is located the science of the sound and music, is known as Gandharva Ved. So that is the main reason why I had these people invited, because number one, the availability of this fellow Debu Chowdhury, who is this musician capable of performing these particular melodies, and then the fact that the advanced practitioners of the TM City program are pretty much sympathetic to the ideals, the goals, and would appreciate this concert, I felt that it'd be a good idea to invite these folks. And it also turned out to be the largest gathering of TM City practitioners ever to gather on the West Coast, in fact, ever to gather west of MIU. So it was kind of an experiment to see if how many people we could get of those people who learn these advanced techniques and know them already. And we had about 400 people for the concert, but about 250 people were TM City program, we call them Siddhas. So all these Siddhas together with the group programs in the morning and the afternoon for a couple of days. It was a really wonderful experience to see see the quality of attention, the quality of consciousness, and the purposefulness of that gathering to create balance in nature, restore balance in nature, to promote positive, good vibrations. And, you know, Debu played a rain raga that Saturday night, and although it didn't rain here, I think it flooded in Ohio.
But right, anyway, that might have been too much.
He's up there. Debu.
Let's get it across the valley.
He even made a remark saying, man proposes, God disposes, and so he may play a rain raga here in Santa Barbara, but it might rain in Texas, he was saying. But the character of the weather did change that night. The wind came up, and it looked like it was a monsoon raga that he was playing, and it looked like the monsoon season here that night. If anybody recalls, the morning, Sunday morning, it was really overcast and very windy during the night.
So, which is completely unlike the weather pattern normally here.
Right. I mean, it was crystal clear that day. And
Mike,
and
you have given the world good vibrations through music. Now you're giving the world good vibrations through the TM City program. You've become a TM City practitioner. I understand you do the Ayurvedic program, which is the health program. I guess probably one of the things that I was wondering is, do the peers in your peer group in the music business have not really lasted as long as you have? Certainly in the ability to stay with the business. My goodness, just staying with the business is at least half the fight. But you've had the ability to come up with new songs every once in a while and stay certainly with the same basic sound and yet change it. And recently you came off the record Kokomo. I would presume that you must attribute a lot of this then to your program.
Well, as a matter of fact, had I not been practicing TM, I'm certain that I wouldn't have lasted in the group as long as we had, and I certainly wouldn't be as healthy as I am today. And you mentioned Ayurveda. Ayurveda is the Veda of life. Well, the knowledge of life, IS means life in Sanskrit, and there's a whole systematic knowledge of every aspect of the mind and the body and how the environment affects it, and the sounds and the smells and the tastes and the and colors and everything, the perfect structuring of life within and without is contained in the knowledge of Ayurveda. There's a complete healthcare system there that is that avoids the problems before they come, and it's the most marvelous. You could call it preventative, but it is actually not even. It doesn't even need to call preventative medicine. It's not even medicine. It's just a way of life, including nutrition, including these purifying techniques called panchakarma that one does ideally four times a year. And there's just a whole structure that one can give one's life that, that leads to optimum health and optimum creativity and optimum possibility for happiness and the optimum benefits in life. If you're not healthy, then no matter how much material success you have, you're not going to enjoy it. And
you were successful. This is, I think, something I'd like to get across to the viewers. I mean, the listeners, and that is that here you were already right. I'm looking forward to a TV program soon. You were already successful when you started TM, which in itself promises a certain vision, a certain amount of creativity. It's a perfect example of why I guess people should consider the idea that, that no matter what they're doing or what they have or how good they think it is, there's always something better. And you have shown that no matter how things were going at that point, you increased it, you changed it, and here you are in the prime of your life, healthy, able to enjoy what you've worked for. I think it's you're the perfect spokesman for what you're talking about here.
Well, you know, George Bush has come out with a thing called the Points of Light Initiative, and the Points of Light Foundation and Initiative, it's one of its main tenets is that that no man's or no person's career in America should be judged complete unless it includes an aspect of service to society. Which is a very interesting concept, and I'm very much involved in helping to promote the Points of Light, to promoting that no person's career is to be judged complete unless it includes an aspect of service to society somehow. The other thing about the Points of Light Foundation is to take things that are working on solving problems on any level in society and networking through the Points of Light Foundation throughout the country and throughout the world to solve the myriad of problems that affect society, because there is a solution somewhere with the combined intelligence and creative efforts and administrative efforts and so on of people in high places and just regular, you know, one-to-one type situations in life, things can be solved and resolved. And there's no reason not to. If where there's a will, there's a way. So, I think that what with Ayurveda and TM City program, and the wonderful effects on the individual and society that those programs have towards betterment of health, better functioning in society, that these things that are known to me and to others who practice TM and the efficacy, the, you know, the brilliance of and simplicity of it all will find its way into the mainstream very soon because of things like the Points of Light Foundation, because of the fact that evolution is always on the move. If the society doesn't evolve and if it becomes corrupt and decadent, it will pass away, and yet in favor of that society which is more in tune, more in harmony, whose people are living in harmony with the laws of nature and who express more fundamental, you know, decent values and positive, uplifting interactions and so on. And as you sow, so shall you reap. And if you have a society that's full of, you know, drugs and lack of fulfillment, then that society will certainly perish as a functioning, you know, unit on the planet Earth. So I have all the confidence in the world that all these evolutionary practices that I have been fortunate enough to come across, and all the opportunities that I have as a public person, vis-a-vis being on the Beach Boys and being able to meet people who are opinion makers and leaders in every field, that means that my life can have, and other people's lives can have, a fulfillment greater than just being, you know, satisfied on their own personal level of, you know, maybe watching television or, you know, going out to a movie or whatever. That's all good, but it's nice when you have enough energy and creativity and intelligence, and one at any level of life can have that, where he has enough energy to give himself a little bit more, you know, to maybe extend that little kindness to somebody, and that have that little bit of energy to be able to care for either their children a little bit more, or their society a little bit more, or their company a little bit more, or their church group a little bit more. And all these things can happen on a much greater scale than have been in the past centuries through the practice of TM, TM City Program, and all the programs offered by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and Maharishi International University. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that where you can feel as an individual that your life has had a greater dimension and some purposefulness and great meaning.
Mike, I want to take the opportunity to thank you very much for doing this interview. You've been very gracious inviting me here to sit overlooking the Pacific Ocean on your deck here in Santa Barbara. There are a lot of people who say that the Beach Boys were just a garage band until you showed up, and I think a lot of people believe that you were a very important major role player in that group, and you're a major role player now in the raising of the consciousness of the people, I guess, in the general world, I think a lot of people are very thankful that you've taken a lot of your time and done such a great service. So thank you for being on the show, Mike.
Thank you, Bruce. And it's a really nice opportunity to be able to talk about issues and subjects that are intimate to my daily experience and reality, and also that have a lot more lasting and enduring effect on a person's life, on the world at large, because TM and various practices associated with that whole body of knowledge that Maharishi's dispensing from, the Veda, it's really a phenomenal, phenomenally deep well of pure knowledge that can transform basically the planet. And so it's nice to be able to talk about things that are of lasting value. The thing about being an entertainer is that one can do songs that create a nice moment for people, and do concerts where you entertain people for an hour or two. But with the development of the self, inner development, the spiritual development of individuals, that leads to lasting benefits for a lifetime, and not only a lifetime of yourself, but of everyone else around you, and people who are yet to be born. So we have the ability as human beings to make these kind of choices to either live life just kind of as we are, or to take steps daily to try to be our best, try to improve ourselves, and therefore improve the whole society. And as I said, like, even unborn generations can benefit. So it's kind of like a thing where you can do a lot of good for yourself through personal developmental practices available through the TM program. And and yet you're doing a lot for everyone. I mean, you can actually influence the world from your own consciousness, and it's a pretty phenomenal thing. But it is a true thing, and one can find a lot, an infinite amount of growth and knowledge and satisfaction in engaging in some of these practices. So if people haven't yet done it or availed themselves of that knowledge, I mean, it would be a great thing for them to do so.
Thank you, Mike, for sharing this private part of your life with us. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes, the Timeless Voyager.